Hare Krishna. We are continuing with our seminar on the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The glories are actually unlimited because the Srimad Bhagavatam is about Krishna and is therefore non-different from Krishna. And since the glories of Lord Krishna are unlimited, the glories of His sound incarnation, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is also unlimited. Nevertheless, as devotees, it is natural that for enhancing our devotion and appreciation for the process of devotional service and for Krishna, we should glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam to the extent that our capacities permit. The Srimad Bhagavatam itself contains much glorification about the Srimad Bhagavatam. The last time, however, we were speaking from the Padma Puran chiefly. We were mentioning how when Shukadev Goswami was about to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, the demigods approached him and made a proposal that the amrit, or the nectar, that Shukadev Goswami was about to impart to King Parikshit in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam should now instead be given to the demigods, and the celestial heavenly nectar that the demigods are accustomed to drinking, which increases their lifespan and gives much celestial enjoyment, could be given now to King Parikshit. Shukadev Goswami immediately rejected that proposal because there is no question of comparing something mundane like the nectar of the demigods to something completely transcendental and which enhances devotion to the Supreme Lord, like the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Shukadev Goswami actually almost made fun of the demigods. He rejected the idea. The demigods, meanwhile, were astonished about the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahma tried to understand the comparative values of Srimad Bhagavatam in relation to the other processes of liberation. He placed the Srimad Bhagavatam on one pan of the weighing scale and all the other processes of liberation on the other pan, and the pan which had Srimad Bhagavatam was much heavier. So all the demigods were astonished, and they were speaking amongst themselves about the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Suta Goswami then went on to tell the sages of Naimisharanya that actually Narad Muni, the great devotee of the Lord, had heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from the four Kumaras. Even though Narad Muni had originally heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from his father and spiritual master Brahma, but that was only in essence, just a few verses. And Narada also had spoken a concise form of the Srimad Bhagavatam to his disciple Vyasadeva. But Suta Goswami said, on another occasion, Narad Muni heard the full Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, when we say full, it's an inappropriate word because there can never be a full recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam because it goes on and on and on and on, endless. But nevertheless, he heard it for many days in detail. So the sages of Naimisharanya wanted to know when and how and why this happened. So Suta Goswami began to narrate that the four Kumaras came once to Badrikashram. They met Narada Muni there. Narada Muni was looking very morose. The four Kumaras inquired about the reason for this. Narada Muni explained that he had just been to the earth planet and he was hoping to find many wonderful things for spiritual progress going on in the holy places on earth. But he was extremely disappointed to find that this wasn't so. There were sinful people everywhere. The holy places had lost their power. So he was extremely disappointed. And then he said that actually I'll tell you something more. That I had gone in the course of my pilgrimage to the holy land of Vrindavan, which is a place of Lord Krishna's pastimes. And there on the banks of the Yamuna, I saw an extraordinary sight. One young lady who was very beautiful was accompanied by two very old men and also surrounded by many, many other ladies. Now, this young beautiful lady was wailing unhappily. The two old men were also unhappy and bemoaning their fate. And Narada Muni said, I went up to them and asked them, who are you and why are you in this condition? Why are you wailing like this? And the lady introduced herself and said, I am Bhakti Devi, the goddess of devotion. The Supreme Lord has actually placed me for the purpose of spreading devotion to Him everywhere. But somehow I have met a very peculiar fate. I was born in Dravida, South India. I grew up in Karnataka. I was respected in the state of Maharashtra, but when I came to the state of Gujarat, I was assaulted, my bones were broken, and then I had to leave for Vrindavan. This actually represents, in a sense, the history of the bhakti movement in India. The Alvars of the Sri Sampradaya, who are mentioned in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is actually the origin of bhakti in Kali Yuga. And in their sampradaya came many, many great devotees in Tamil Nadu, Dravida Desh. Later, Madhvacharya and others spread the movement in the state of Karnataka. And then onwards up to Maharashtra came Tukaram and other saints. When Gujarat people were mostly businessmen, worried about money, didn't care so much about bhakti. And so there was disrespect for bhakti. And Bhakti Devi then left for Vrindavan. She actually also became an old lady in Vrindavan. The two old men were actually her sons, who were Gyan and Vairagya, knowledge and detachment. And they had become old men in Gujarat. She had also become an old lady. But when the three of them came to Vrindavan, by the touch of the dust of Vrindavan, she immediately regained her youthful form, but her sons, Gyan and Vairagya, remained as old people. So Bhakti Devi lamented before Narada Muni that, is this not an unusual and pitiable situation, that the mother should be a young lady and the son should be very old and decrepit? Why has this happened to me? Please explain this. I am very happy to see you, O great saint, because you bring auspiciousness everywhere. So please bring auspiciousness into my life. So Narada Muni said, please don't worry, O goddess. You are the repository of all devotion to Krishna. So wherever you are, there is auspiciousness because Lord Krishna is there. He will definitely have mercy on you. Do not lament. as far as your condition is concerned, I can see the reason for this. And the fault lies with nobody except that this age is called Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Bhakti Devi had been so frustrated that when she was speaking to Narad Muni earlier, she had said, Idam sthanam parityajya videsham gamyate maya, which in Sanskrit means idam, this sthanam, place, parityajya, I will give up this place, and videsham gamyate, I will go to the to foreign countries, or rather the, because it's in the passive voice, gamyate, it means that I will be taken to the foreign countries. So in a sense you can say it is a prediction about Srila Prabhupada traveling from Vrindavan to the western countries and bringing Krishna consciousness with him. So Narad Muni was pacifying her and saying that don't worry, actually the fault is with this age alone. This is a ruthless age, the age of Kali. It's a terrible age where people are addicted to all sorts of cheating and immoral activities, and their behavior is extremely sinful. The characteristic of this age is the demoniac people flourish and become strong, whereas the saintly people are always unhappy. The demons are engaged in sense gratification to such a degree that everything has become inauspicious on this earth. And one cannot, there's no place or no thing on earth that is not inauspicious because of this sense gratificatory activities of the demons. One does not even feel like being on the earth because of this situation. And because everyone is so absorbed in sense gratification, they are neglecting you and your sons. You who are bhakti, and your sons who are knowledge and detachment. Because you have contacted the dust of Vrindavan, which is spiritual, you were immediately revived and you got your original form. But your two sons are still neglected. Therefore, they are asleep or they have become old. Actually, they should have died. But because they have come to Vrindavan, they are still alive. They are still breathing. There is still some hope. Narad Muni went on to pacify and said, actually, this glorious land of Vrindavan is such a holy place, such a wonderful place, that devotion actually dances here in this land. That is why you have been completely revived and your sons have been kept alive. So do not worry about this. Soon Lord Krishna will come, he will solve your problems, and I am here, I will also, by his mercy, revive your two sons. So Bhakti Devi said, if it is this age of Kali that is at fault, please tell me, why is it that King Parikshit, the great devotee emperor of the world, has not killed the personality of Kali? Now this is also the section that is that discussion on which has begun in the Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning nowadays. So we're just beginning that part of the discussion in the first canto, 17th chapter. So Bhakti Devi's question pertained to that. Why did King Parikshit not kill the personality of Kali if this was going to be the consequence of his presence on this earth planet? And also, why is it that the Lord is tolerating all this? It seems very surprising that the Lord should bear it. So why has this happened? So, and also it seems that everything, the essence of everything, all the objects in this world are lost because of the age of Kali. What is the solution for this? So Narad Muni agreed with her And he said, actually, yes, you are right. This age is indeed like this. But do you know why King Parikshit has not killed the age of Kali? Now, in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it does explain that King Parikshit forgave Kali when he surrendered. The personality of Kali had dressed like a king and was beating the legs of a cow and a bull. And when he was confronted by King Parikshit, the emperor of the world, understanding the might of King Parikshit, he immediately surrendered himself to the lotus feet of King Parikshit. So why did King Parikshit not kill him? It might appear that he would have solved the problem of the world. If the cause of all the ills is this age of Kali, why did he not kill Kali, the personality of Kali, right away? The answer can be given on different planes. One answer is that King Parikshit was a Kshatriya. As a Kshatriya, it was his duty to forgive someone or give shelter to someone who had taken shelter of him. This is the etiquette or the ethics of a Kshatriya. Even if he is the worst enemy, but if he comes and says, please spare my life, I surrender to you, then the Kshatriya would not kill him. This happened even to Lord Ram and Vibhishan. When Vibhishan was thrown out of Lanka by Ravana, Vibhishan came across the sea. Ram accepted him. All the many people in his army had grave doubts. They suspected that Vibhishan would be like a spy coming to find out what was going on in Ram's army. So one reason why King Parikshit spared the personality of Kali was this. As a Kshatriya, he was duty-bound. The second reason could have been that it was the Lord's arrangement, it's the law of nature, that the four ages repeat, follow one after the other. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Kali Yuga, and then again the whole cycle repeats. So King Parikshit would have interfered with the ways of nature, with the order of the universe. And third, and this is what Narad Muni replies in this conversation, it's a very interesting and important answer. He says the reason that King Parikshit did not kill the personality of Kali is that King Parikshit, being a great devotee, had spiritual vision and could understand the essential good quality of Kali Yuga. Even though Kali Yuga was an ocean of faults, and Parikshit Maharaj knew this very well, still he could understand there is one great quality in this age. All of you know the famous verse. Which is that verse? Kalir dosh nidhe rajan asti hi ek mahan guna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangaha param vrajet. Vaishukadev Goswami tells King Parikshit that, O king, this age, the age of Kali, is an ocean of faults. When you go to an ocean of water and you're in the middle of it and you look all around, should you be surprised to see that there is water? If someone says, well, I'm surprised, there's so much water here. Well, you're in the middle of an ocean. What else will you expect to find? There will be water. So similarly, we are in an ocean of faults. Wherever you look around you, up, down, left, right, anywhere you look, there's faults. So it's natural because this is the age of faults. But asti hi ek mahan guna. There is one very great quality about this age, even though it has many, many faults. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. And that is the congregational chanting of the names of Lord Krishna. Mukta sangaha, by which one becomes detached from this material world. Param Vrajet and goes to the spiritual world. So King Parikshit understood that in the earlier ages there were other paths for self-realization. The other processes of yoga, karma yoga, ashtanga yoga, this yoga, that yoga, jnana, vairagya, everything was there for earlier ages like Satya, Treta and Dwapar. But in Kali Yuga, who is qualified to do all these things? It's not possible. Who can sit in meditation? Is it possible? Sit like that in meditation. I went to one place, I remember, I won't mention the place, many years ago. And it was another institution, but there was some well-wisher who wanted us to visit. It was a very grand structure they had made, very beautifully organized, well-managed. But their process was to have silent meditation. And they had a meditation room that was pitch dark. And you had to enter in, and you weren't allowed to take in anything inside that meditation room. They didn't even allow us to take our bead bags in. So I said, nevertheless, no one can stop me from chanting the holy names. So anyway, we went in. It took a while for our eyes to get accustomed to the darkness. And it was a very thick carpeted floor, air conditioned. It was like a huge planetarium. And right in the center, there was little light. A little blue-colored light. And everyone was supposed to just look at that light and then meditate. And we didn't know where we were going, so anyway we went in and found a place for ourselves and sat down. And once our eyes had got accustomed to the darkness, we noticed a few figures here and there, and then I noticed there were some people sitting this side, that side, everywhere near me. And in my mind, because they had told me you shouldn't speak, so I couldn't chant aloud, but in my mind I was just chanting. And then gradually, bit by bit, I started hearing some sounds. And I wondered what those sounds were. And the sounds were something like... And first there was just one sound coming from this side, another sound coming from that side, and then it was almost, not quite, but it was like a roar everywhere. Well, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but the point is that everything was so comfortable, air-conditioned, thick carpet, dark, sitting comfortably, just fall asleep. What meditation can we do in Kali Yuga? It's not possible. So King Parikshit very well could understand the nature of this age, the unqualified position of the people of this age, and they wouldn't be able to do all this. The only redeeming feature of this age would be bhakti. And bhakti could be easily done. And this would lead everyone to perfection. Bhakti would be very easy to perform, very sublime and very effective even for sinful people of this age. So Parikshit Maharaj was like a swan or a bee. You know, a swan is reputed to have some special quality where it can separate milk from water. If there's a mixture of milk and water, it'll drink only the milk and leave aside the water. In Kali Yuga, people take the water and leave the milk. They extract everything but the essence. Similarly, they're called hamsas. The devotees are called hamsas. Swans or Paramahamsas, supreme swans. Parikshit is also compared to a bumblebee. You see, there are two kinds of bees. One kind of bee is called a makshika in Sanskrit. This is the bee that lives in a hive and manufactures honey. It doesn't travel anywhere, it just remains there and works and works and works. The bees work very hard. Therefore we have a word in English called busy bee. If someone's really very busy all the time, and you say he's a busy bee, because he's like a bee working, working, working all the time. He's called a makshika. Ultimately, after all this hard work, someone else comes and takes away all the honey and takes it and goes away. The poor makshika is left without the honey. There is another type of honeybee who is called the Bhramara. And this is described, what I am saying now is described in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Bhramara is one who wanders from one flower to another. In one flower, it doesn't stay for too long. Just takes a little nectar. Drop, goes on to the next flower, a little nectar. The next flower, little nectar. In this way, this bee, the Bhramara, doesn't get attached to any flower, any place, doesn't get trapped in any flower, takes the essence from each flower and moves on. So the Bhagavatam says, similarly, one should take the essence from the different scriptures and not get bogged down with all the other ritualistic and other details. Not that rituals are not important, but one should not get so absorbed in the rituals that one forgets the essence. So the Bhramara has this quality. So similarly, Parikshit Maharaj, like a bumblebee, the Bhramara, could understand the essence of this age of Kali. And Saragrahi, a person like that is called a Saragrahi. That's another name for a Vaishnava or a self-realized soul. Sar means essence, Grahi means one who accepts. So one who can identify the essence of something and then accept that alone is said to be a Saragrahi. So we should know the essence of what the Bhagavad Gita is. What is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita? Yes? The essence of the Bhagavad Gita? Yes, to become, always think of Krishna, to become Krishna's pure devotee. Isn't it?
Love, surrender, and devotion.
Love, surrender, devotion. That's the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. There'll be many people we meet, especially in India, we say, well, I know Bhagavad Gita, the essence is karma yoga. Or the essence is work hard. Simply, that's what the Bhagavad Gita says, simply work hard. Is that what the Bhagavad Gita says? Simply work hard? No, so there are misconceptions. They don't understand the essence. They've lost that capacity to understand the essential quality of the different scriptures and of different places and phenomena. So Saragrahi, Parikshit Maharaj was a Saragrahi. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam also, the 9 Yogendras tell King Nimi, Kalim Sabhajayantyarya Gunagyah Sarabhaginah Yatra Sankirtanenaiva Sarvaswarthobhilabhyate. The meaning is, they say, my dear king, this age of Kali has been criticized widely everywhere, justifiably. But those who are actually Arya, those who are actually intelligent, worship this age of Kali. And which specific kind of people? Those who are Gunagyaha, who understand the essential, who understand the quality of something, who can examine something and understand it for its true value. Let's say now we have Gaurav, who is a jeweler. So someone comes with a fake jewel. So he'll understand, yes, this is a fake jewel. Because he's a jeweler, he knows the value, which is truly valuable and which is not valuable. A real thing from a fake thing. So if someone brings an ornament or a jewel or a gem, then you can identify. Yes? There are certain characteristics. So similarly, anything and everything in this world, we should be able to judge the value. So there are wise people who can understand the true value of things. Footy, what is its real value? The pub, what is its real value? Television, what is its real value? Money, even though it rhymes with honey, what is its true value? So gunagya, those who can understand the real value of things or the quality of something. Sarabhaginaha, and those who can understand the essence of something. they have concluded that this Kali Yuga is to be glorified. Sabhajayanti means to glorify. Jai, you know the word Jai. If we want to glorify something, we say Jai. So the word Jayanti, Sabhajayanti, means to profusely glorify. So those who are knowers of the true qualities and values of things, those who can understand the essence of things, those who are truly knowledgeable, advanced in the culture of knowledge and spirituality, they profusely glorify this Kali Yuga. Strange as it may sound, when we are denigrating Kali Yuga like anything, anytime there's any problem, we say, oh, it's Kali Yuga. But here we find the great saintly people are glorifying Kali Yuga profusely. Why? Yatra sankirtanena eva sarva swartha abhilabhyate. Just by sankirtana yajna, just by the congregational chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna, sarva swartha, all desires, all benefit, pilabhyate, will be achieved, will be attained. This one great quality of Kali Yuga is simply chant the holy names of the Lord. Everything that you desire in life will be obtained. All desirable things can be obtained. So that is why King Parikshit spared Kali. Because he knew that despite his numerous drawbacks, this was one good thing that he had. And this one good thing was so great that it overpowered and eclipsed all his bad qualities. Similarly, we see sometimes faults in devotees. And we see someone showing doing this and doing that. And we may be so unhappy about something. Well, it may be a genuine fault as well. Maybe a genuine mistake. But eventually in the course of time, that devotee will be corrected because he or she is chanting the holy names of the Lord. It may be a little painful process to come back to Krishna consciousness, but Krishna will facilitate that in his own way. But regardless of some bad qualities that a devotee may have, there is one overpowering good quality of that person. That person believes that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That person believes that becoming a pure devotee of the Lord is the goal of life. He believes in the process of chanting the holy names as the only way to perfection. So this is that one great quality that eclipses all the other qualities. So in any case, this is the real reason why King Parikshit spared Kali. So he said, this is actually the answer. And as far as your point about how things have lost, the objects have lost their essence in this world, yes, it's true. Parikshit Maharaj said, seeds have lost their essence. Yes, it happens so. Nowadays in this age of genetically modified seeds and hybrid seeds and all kinds of genetic manipulation of things, what is happening is that the original seeds are no more. The traditionally passed down seeds over centuries and generations, they are lost. Even in India, it's very hard to find. But the taste, the nourishment, that food that was produced from those seeds had is quite incomparable. Now you have fruits that look this big and that shine like anything. But there's no taste. There's no quality. It's just artificially pumped up and blown up and made shiny and attractive, colorful. But there's no sar, there's no essence to it. It's just become empty. This is the quality of Kali. The seeds will lose their essence. The next thing that Parikshit said, even kathas of the Lord have lost their essence. Now we may think, well, why? Katha is about the Lord. So why should it lose its essence? Parikshit Maharaj said, because Most people who do these kathas of the Lord are materially motivated and they do it for a livelihood as a profession. So they earn the livelihood, they make a lot of money. And just for making money, they have adopted speaking on the Srimad Bhagavatam. No wonder that Srila Prabhupada criticized the professional reciters of the Srimad Bhagavatam so much and cautioned us that don't speak Srimad Bhagavatam for money. Don't make the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam a business. Then he said, even holy places have lost their essence. Why? Because in the holy places nowadays reside people who are immoral, sinful, and atheistic. Therefore, the holy places have lost their power. Penance has lost its power. Because those who claim to do penance are actually not doing penance. They are simply show bottle pretenders. They are actually full of greed, anger, lust, and so on. Therefore, penance itself has lost its power. And then Parikshit Maharaj goes on to say that because the culture of knowledge is lost and those who are supposed to be studying the scriptures and not studying the scriptures, they also are plagued with greed, lust, and pretension. They also don't know what the scriptures are. They don't study the scriptures. Therefore, the potency or the essence of Jnana Yoga is lost. And because the Brahmanas, the Pandits, who should be actually practitioners on the path of liberation, are simply involved in sense gratification, there is no essence or potency left in the different processes of liberation. And furthermore, there are very few genuine Vaishnavas to be found even in the bona fide Vaishnava sampradayas nowadays. Therefore, because overall people everywhere are irreligious, objects everywhere have lost their essence. That is the reason why actually your two sons have become old and decrepit, and you also became old, but you were saved because of the touch of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So Bhakti Devi was very happy hearing this, the analysis. She glorified Narad Muni and said, "Oh my dear Narad Muni, just having a casual glimpse even of a great saint like you helps one to progress in the path of perfection. You bring auspiciousness everywhere, wherever you travel. It is simply by your mercy and a short meeting with Prahlad that you helped him to overcome Maya. A brief meeting of yours with Dhruva helped him to attain Dhruva Loka and eventually to have darshan of the Lord and then Dhruva Loka. So you are the deliverer of so many great souls. You are the personification of auspiciousness. So please help me now and revive my sons." So Narad Muni replied, Don't lament, my dear Bhakti Devi. The worshipable Lord Krishna, who is your worshipable Lord and mine as well, who is the protector of Draupadi and the lover of the gopis of Vrindavan, is not very far away. Do not think that he has given up on you. He is there. He will come and he will protect you. You are Bhakti Devi, Bhakti personified. And you are very dear to Lord Krishna. In fact, you are more dear to him than his very life is to himself. You are the one who nourishes the devotion of the living entities in the Vaikuntha world. You permanently reside in the spiritual world, nourishing the devotees of the Lord with devotion. And now you have expanded from the Vaikuntha world and come here into the material world, and you continue that same activity. You are continuing to nourish the devotees. Because you had approached the Lord with your hands folded one time and asked him, "Please tell me, what should I do?" And the Lord had instructed you, "Go and nourish my devotees." So you had gone and started residing in the hearts of all the devotees and started giving them all kinds of spiritual nourishment. And because of that, there was a revolution. There's an upsurge or waves of bhakti. You have come here now into this world and you have followed the Lord's order, because of which He's very, very pleased with you. Actually, in the earlier ages, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, the other processes, Karma, Jnana, Yoga, were effective. But in Kali Yuga, these processes are not effective. The people are not qualified to do this. In this age of Kali, it's only you, O Goddess, who will help everyone attain perfection. Nothing and no one else can do that. And I predict, and it is my assurance, that in this age, you will eventually occupy the heart of every being, living entity, and you will occupy every place. So this is a very, very encouraging prediction for us, that this bhakti movement is going to grow. Even though we see so many signs of despair all around us, but it's going to grow and it will occupy all the different places, all the different countries and cities and villages in the world. So do not despair, O Bhakti Devi. This age is actually your age. And in order to nourish, to help you nourish the devotees, the Lord sent Mukti Devi, the goddess of liberation, from the spiritual world to help you as your maid servant. And the Lord also sent knowledge and detachment, Jnana and Vairagya, as your two sons. Now, everything was fine till Kali Yuga began. In the first three ages, you were doing well, you were healthy and happy. Mukti Devi, Jnana, Vairagya were all happy and you were all made a very good team. But then came Kali Yuga. And Mukti Devi couldn't bear to be here. She was diseased. What was her disease? Pretentious religion. There were so many pretenders in the garb of religious people and so much evil going on in the name of true religion that Mukti Devi couldn't bear to stay here any longer. So she took your permission and departed to Vaikuntha. But she doesn't stay there all the time. When you call her, she comes back for a while, but she can't stay for too long, so she goes away quickly back to the spiritual world. You have revived, but your two sons, Jnana and Vairagya, being completely neglected by the sinful people of this age, have become old and decrepit. But, O Goddess, please know that you will indeed occupy the house and the home, every home and every house in this world, in this age. And I take a vow that I will vigorously spread your message everywhere. And if I do not do that, and do not establish with vigor the establishment or the celebration of great festivals connected to you, then I will not be called Haridas, or the servant of Lord Hari. And after having made such a bold and revolutionary declaration, a declaration of war on Maya, Narad Muni said, I am the preacher of the Lord. I will go and spread your message everywhere. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, as his representative, fulfilled Narad Muni's vow. Narad Muni is also our acharya, he is our guru. And the children of bhakti were still not revived, because Narad Muni was still speaking, glorifying bhakti, trying to give her self-confidence back to her. He was giving her a good pep talk. But whatever he was saying was not false, it was true. Bhakti Devi was very happy. And in case you wish to know what happened after that, and whether Narad Muni was able to revive Jnana and Vairagya, and if he did, then what happened, what was the method by which he was able to do that, then I think you will have to come again. Tomorrow? Tomorrow at what time?
Same
time, same place. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.